For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jack Harris of Beckville, Texas, one of America's 10 most honored and decorated heroes of World War II, is the teacher of the evening. At the Friday evening service of August the 29th, 1986, the Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jack Harris of Beckville, Texas, is the teacher of the evening.
All right, so let's see now. What is the power to usward? It's according to the power that God used to raise up Jesus from the dead. All right, what kind of power did he use to raise up Jesus from the dead? Well, Jesus has been dead for 3 days. And they drained all the blood out of him. He was dehydrated before he was entombed. And if you read the description of him in the 22nd chapter of the book of Psalms, every bone was unjointed. Every joint was unjointed, it says. They couldn't break a bone in his body because it had been projected that not a bone of his body would be broken. But they could be disjointed, and so the 22nd chapter of Psalms, setting forth the Messiah, says that every bone was out of joint. Now let's look. Here is a man that has been dead 3 days. He was dehydrated entombed in the sackcloth according to all of the customs. Every bone and every joint in his body is unjointed. He had been, they had spit in his face with the crown of thorns, and his image was marred more than any other man's, the prophet said. And sometime just before the morning sun rose, the Spirit of the Almighty hovered over that tomb in Jerusalem and began to pump energizing power into that body that was dead, dehydrated. Every bone was out of joint. Hallelujah. And Jesus stood up full length. Hallelujah. Throughout the sackcloth, the angel rolled back the stone and Jesus stepped out into the garden. Now let me say in saying that, that if you have anything harder for God to do than that, then you may have a good cause to get nervous. But if your little old needs come in any category less than the power that it took to do that, we're on safe ground. Hallelujah. Amen. All we need is our eyes enlightened that we can see who we are. Hallelujah. And what the promise is. Oh, glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't shout yet. It's going to get better than this. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Ah, now I'm beginning to see. Paul, you wanted me to have my eyes open. You want me to move away from tradition and the false hope of tradition and see what really hope I have. Hallelujah. So that he can have an inheritance in his saints. I'll tell you, if we let tradition rule this thing, God will get beat out of his inheritance. Hallelujah. Amen. And he's not going to allow that to happen. Hallelujah. Amen. You want me to realize the power. Oh, did you get that? According to his mighty power, this is power to usward who believe. Do you believe?
Amen.
Do you believe?
Amen.
That qualifies you. That puts you in this category then. All right? The power that you have, then, if you believe, is according to the power of his, according to the working. He put it to work. He didn't just talk about it. He didn't just say, I can and I will. But he did it. Hallelujah. The prophets had said he could and that he would. Hallelujah. Amen. That had already been announced. Oh, the prophets had announced that he could and he would before they crucified him. Before he was born, the announcement that he could and would had already been made. All God had to do is just come out and do it now. And he did it. And that's the kind of power that he has given to us if we believe. It is according to the power, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ. He put it to work in Christ. He manifested it in him when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand, high above all principalities. And Paul said, and you hath he set together in heavenly places with him, high above all principalities and powers. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Yes. Hallelujah. This is sonship. But your eyes have to be open. Let me show us some scripture here. In Psalms chapter 100 and let's see. Let me check here. It's 137. By the rivers of Babylon there we sat down, yea, and we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our hearts upon the willows in the midst thereof. For they that carried us away captive required of us a song. They that wasted us required of us myrrh, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing one of the songs in Zion while we're in captivity? They exclaimed. What did they do? They wept. They hang their hearts up on the willows in the midst thereof. All right, now, that's pathetic-looking picture here, isn't it? Hallelujah, here is Israel. And in captivity, they have learned how to quit. They're hanging their hearts on hope. All hope is gone, as the brother preached this morning. Now, let's turn over to Ezekiel chapter 1. In Ezekiel chapter 1, now it came to pass in the first verse, 30th year in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Kibar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. Now, Ezekiel is at the same place they are. This is the same location. And see, he says, notice that he said, I was among the captives by the river Kibar. This is just another name for the same river. And when they hung their harps in the willows, here was a man that was among them. He said, I was among them, but he didn't say I was one of them. He was just among them. I've been among a lot of them, and I wasn't really one of them. I was just among them. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, you've been where you was just among them. He wasn't one of them. Well, that's the way Ezekiel was. He was just among them. He wasn't one of them. If he'd been one of them, you know what he'd done? He'd hung his harp in the willow, too. But he was among them, but he heard voices they didn't hear. He seen visions that they were not seeing. While they are hanging their hearts and wasting away in despair. What's happening to this old boy? Hallelujah. Amen. It was then that the heavens were opened. And I saw visions of God. Can you imagine that? Here's a young prophet, hallelujah, that's right among a bunch of people that has given up in despair, hang their harps in the willows, hallelujah, and while they're doing that, heaven is open to him. And notice, in the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly. You notice these strong words. The word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Kibar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. Hallelujah. What a contrast. Here's a man right in the midst of all of these captives as we have described them, filled with their hearts, filled with despair, and while they're weeping in despair and all hope is being diminished, here's such a young prophet, and God just rolls back the scrolls of heaven. Hallelujah. And he begins to see visions. His eyes are open. Revelation is coming to him. And I notice what he... And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness. Well, and it goes on. For the sake of time, I'll just tell you. You know what Ezekiel's seen? What is he seeing here? I'll tell you what he's seeing. Hallelujah. Amen. While they're crying and wasting their life away in despair, Ezekiel is seeing the formation of the Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. It digs me deeply in my spirit. Deep calls unto deep as I say this. But I know what Ezekiel's seen. He's seen the hallelujah. Yes, he's seen the formation of the Christ. Notice which direction it comes out of. It is a whirlwind, and it's coming out of the north.
Yeah.
God is always depicted as being over in the north. That's why that Lucifer wanted over in the north. He knew that's where the authority was coming from in the end of the age. Hallelujah. I contend that Ezekiel is by vision, and God has opened his eyes, and he is seeing the formation of the Christ. And he so describes them as you read on down through here. The likeness, there were four living creatures. If you're familiar enough with this, I'll just take some shortcuts. He's seeing the formation of the Christ. He's seeing the relationship of all things. Hallelujah. Amen. This is a message within itself. But I wouldn't want to just leave us hanging here. What does he see? He see, somebody said, well, what about the wheels on over in the second chapter? Wheel in a wheel. What is that? Oh, that's relationship. That's relationship. Nothing alone has any meaning. Nothing alone has any meaning. A wheel has no meaning until it hits the ground, and then it'll roll. Hallelujah. In relation to the ground, it finds its usefulness and its meaning. Now, you see, unless you know that nothing alone has any meaning, it is only as it relates to something else that it has meaning. You see, you want to get spiritual, apply your life. Your life alone has no meaning. But if you can relate that life to his life, that's where the meaning comes from. And that's where it is. Nothing alone has any meaning. You wouldn't know. If you had asked Eve, you come to visit Eve in the early hours of Eden? Hey, Eve, where's Adam? I don't know. He was around here a while ago. He walked off down through the garden there. Well, I'll go out and look for him. Tell me, Eve, how does your husband look? Well, now if I were to ask you, you have a husband? Yeah. How does your husband look? No, describe him to me. I'd like about 5'9". Would you say that's, what are you going to say about that? Tall or short?
Medium.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, that's all right. You could do that. But you have a husband? Describe the one you'd like to have.
Tall, dark, and handsome.
6'2", 4". Okay. I'm just making a point here, you know, as we go along. But, all right. Why couldn't Eve describe Adam? Because she don't know whether to say he's tall or short. Because she hadn't never seen another one. That's the only one she knows about. Amen. And she has nothing to relate him to. She don't know whether he's tall, fat, thin, and short. Hallelujah. Or medium, if you please. She had no way to know. Adam has the most beautiful woman in the world for a wife. And he doesn't even know it. Hallelujah. Well, on the other hand, he has the ugliest one, too. And he doesn't know that. Why doesn't he know that? He doesn't. There is nothing to relate to.
Yes.
How do you know? Yeah, you see. You say, this water's hot. How do you know that water's hot? Because you know cold water. If you didn't know cold, you wouldn't know this was hot. If you didn't know hot, you wouldn't know this was cold. We wouldn't know anything until we begin to relate to something else. If you alone... nothing is anything. It has no use, no relationship. It is only as it relates to something else. And that is what Ezekiel is seeing. He's seeing the formation of the Christ. And he's seeing our relationship to the Father in as we are hid in Christ. And he's seeing he is seeing the relationship of what we are coming to. I'll tell you. And keep in mind that while he's doing that, those that are all around him, I don't think that his position, his geographical location hadn't changed. He's still sitting there right beside some of them that have hung their hearts. And he's looking into heaven and they're looking in the willows. Hallelujah. Amen. It just depends on how you're looking.
Yes, Lord.
Now, I wondered why that when Samuel came over to the house of Jesse to anoint a king, and Eliab, was that the oldest one? He stood up, and Samuel jumped to his feet and grabbed his horn off. My God, he said, surely the Lord's anointed is standing for me. Have an idea, this old boy was big, handsome, hallelujah, amen. And because Saul was the only king that Samuel had ever seen of Israel, and he was head and shoulders taller than anybody else, and this must have been the biggest of Jesse's sons. And God spoke to Samuel before he could dispense the oil and said, I've already rejected that one. You're looking on the outside, and I'm looking inside. And I wondered, what was it in this guy? He just now come before us. I don't know, but you know what it was? Well, you remember when David later comes up to the camp when Goliath is challenging Israel? He comes up to bring his brother's refreshment, and he says to his elder brother, who is that guy out there? Oh, he said, that guy is Goliath. He's got a... What are y'all... The camp seems to be in disarray, and I feel the spirit of nervousness around here. He said, yeah, that guy is 10 feet tall. And he's quite a he has quite a battle record, and he has challenged us. And David said, well, why don't you go out there and hallelujah and get him? He said, he's too big for me to hit. And David looked at him and said, he's too big for me to miss. Hallelujah. Amen. So it just kindly depends on who you're looking from. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you looking from a sonship standpoint or from traditional standpoint? Hallelujah. Saul had all of his executives pulling their hair out, going through the records and looking at service records and seeing, do we have anybody that might have any kind of chance against that giant out there? Hallelujah. And while they're desperately searching records, David takes a slingshot and goes out there. Hallelujah. Amen. And he had himself well covered up, but on the joint of his hood that protected his head and face, there's a hole by necessity of the joint. He had everything covered, but he had a weak spot right here. Hallelujah. Let the record show that I'm pointing to the brain. Hallelujah. Amen. What am I saying? I'm saying that if you defy God, you got an open spot here. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's where David hit him.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, yes. You're going to... Oh, we're not in the... Well, we're not walking in the realm of the usual. Hallelujah. We're walking in the realm of the unusual. We're sons of God. We're not manifested, but we're walking into a manifestation. Hallelujah. Amen. And we've got a great big audience for the whole creation. Is groaning and travailing in pain together for us. Hallelujah. The creature is waiting. What's he waiting for? Somebody said he's waiting for a rapture. No, he's waiting for the translation of the sons of God. Ah, yes. And we are candidates for that. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Romans 8 and 1. And the verse 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. There is a group in the world today that is being set free from the law of sin and death. Somebody said, what a lofty calling. Well, it's a lofty calling, but it's a simple thing to do. Hallelujah. Amen. Just as soon as I tell you how to do it, hallelujah. Amen. You will see that it is a very simple thing. Did you read that? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And that's how that, what did that do to me? That brings me out from under condemnation. But how did this happen? All right. The law of... there is a high law that has made me free from the law of sin and death. That law of sin and death is a natural law. But this law of the Spirit of life is a living law. It is the life of the law. You know, we want to come out from under the law. Boy, that's right. Come out from under the law and be disciplined to discipleship, to sonship. Hallelujah. Amen. But how do we get out from under that condemnation? By obedience. Yes. All right, let me show you. Here I come over the hill. Amen. I got my car locked in at 55. I lock it in where it won't go over about 57, 8 miles an hour. Yeah, I lock it in at 55, but it'll, you know. And so I cruise over the hill there, and right down at the bottom of the hill sets a couple of them highway patrolmen. And I don't change my style. I've been 4 hours on the road. I've come 400 miles, and I've had it sitting there on cruise control. I've just crossed one state line after another, and I cross them everywhere. And if you could hook that detector up to me, it wouldn't show my heart pace accelerating itself one bit.
Amen.
What has happened? Hallelujah. Well, let me give you... All right, here you come over the hill. So you're used to making a few miles when you can. So you dip over the same hill behind me, but right now you're only doing about 50 miles an hour, but that don't make no difference. Automatically, when you see it, you start easing down on your brake. What happened? You come under condemnation. Amen. Well, what happened to me? I didn't come under condemnation because I've been in obedience to the law of the spirit of that, the law of the spirit of life of that law set me free from that law. I obeyed it because of the life of the law, because I am an obedient citizen. Hallelujah. Law abiding. And so when I dip over the hill, It never disturbs me to see them. I'm just driving like you're supposed to. Hallelujah. I found the life of the law, and it set me free from condemnation. When I come over and see them, I don't get nervous. Hallelujah. Amen. It doesn't scare me. Praise the Lord. So, that's what Paul means when he says, that the law of the life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. It is when you are obeying the law of God, the nature of God, the life of God, in the sonship statute, that you're not quickened by that other law. It doesn't disturb you. It has no dominion, no jurisdiction over you. You've not broken it. Hallelujah. You have kept it because of the life of it. Hallelujah. Well, you see, the only thing that if we are motivated, it depends on how that we are motivated. You see this? All right, did you see this in Ezekiel? And I'm moving into, I guess I'll close here pretty quick, but let's look over in 2 Kings chapter 6 here. And look at this guy here. Hallelujah. 2 Kings chapter 6. Are you familiar with this story here where Elijah and his servant, and they're over in Dothan, and... Well, in the first part of the chapter, beginning with about verse 8, the king of Syria is warring against Israel. And he takes counsel with his servants, saying, such a place shall be. Anyhow, they plan their military strategy. And when they plan their military strategy against Israel, Elijah goes to the king of Israel and says, hey, this is the strategy of the Syrian army. And so they set up an ambush at this place ahead of them. They get there ahead of them. And this happens about 3 times. And this king, he's not a dummy. He knows something is going on here, doesn't he? So he says, he gets his army out there and he said, all right, you fellas, you might as well confess up because one of you is against us and for the army of Syria. And one soldier said, Captain, it ain't us. Hallelujah. It's that Elijah. What? Yeah, it's that Elijah said, I would advise you not to even let out any secrets in your bedchamber.
Yes.
Oh. He said, well, where is Elijah? He said, he's over in Dothan. Well, he said, obviously there's only one plan of operation. Elijah has to be taken care of. Yeah, we've got to get Elijah out of the way. Because how does he know all of this? Yes, that's some of the sonship ministry. He had, God had exalted him, his position, into ministry that belongs to the sons of God. He is a type of this beautiful company that is coming out of the mass multitudes even now, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, bless God forever. Hallelujah. So, they come over to... They said, well, what is the strategy? Well, we'll just move up and surround Dothan under the shadow of darkness, and at daybreak we'll overrun the city, and Elijah will be there, we'll get him. And so they carried through the first phase of the plan. They moved up and surrounded Dothan. They set their chariots in battle array in the mountains and hills surrounding Dothan. And that morning about sunup, when the day broke, Elijah's servant rises up, stretches himself, and looks out across there, and man, he sees chariots of the Syrian army everywhere. They're set it looks as if they're going to attack any minute now. And he looks around them, and they are completely surrounded. He come running back to Elijah, shakes him awake, and said, "Master, what shall we do?" "Which way shall we do?" Hallelujah. Ain't no scuttle hole here. Hallelujah. Amen. He knows they're going to have to face them. He wants to know what the battle plans are. You know what Elijah did? He just rolled over and yawned and said, "Lord, I pray you'd open this young man's eyes." And the young man went back and looked. And now when he looked into the mountains, he's seen chariots. He's still seen the army of Syria, but he's seen angels' chariots. Host of angels up there. Hallelujah. And the army that was coming opposing them was all surrounded. He come, hallelujah. He looked at that, and then he said, "Boy, goody, there's more for us than there is for them." Hallelujah. Yeah. Well, they were there all the time. How many of you know the angels were there when he looked the first time? He just didn't have the eyes to see them. It is a day of revelation when all of these things are unfolding. Let me say to you, as I close here tonight in this message, that some of the... When I came into Sonship Kingdom Message some 25 years ago, by revelation, entirely by revelation, I began to move into this message without anybody teaching me anything. Didn't know anybody that could teach me because they didn't know it. And of course, later I met some folks that knew the message, knew it about like I did, and we helped each other. And I'm indebted to every minister that I've ever heard. I'm indebted to every prophet that has ever rose and began to sound the trumpet. Hallelujah. But still it came by revelation. And the only thing that I ever heard prefaced with divine was healing. You understand what I'm saying? We talked about in the old line that I came up through, we talked about divine healing. The first time that I heard a lot of the terminology that we use commonly now, the first time I ever heard them is the Spirit spoke them through me. Like divine government, divine order, divine placement. And all of these things are just as scriptural as they can be. But we'd never heard it. And let me tell you that... we talked about divine healing, divine... That's all that we talked about and prefaced it with divine. That's all I ever heard. I never heard these other expressions. I think that I would be safe in saying the first time I heard them expressed, the Holy Ghost spoke them through myself. And I said, we need divine order, divine government, divine placement. And then I began to look. It's everywhere in the Scriptures. But why didn't we see that? Well, the explanation that I have is that it wasn't the day that our eyes be opened to this revelation. God is unfolding it just a little bit ahead of us all the time and keeping us grasping and reaching and stretching out in this race with patience. Hallelujah. As that great crowd of witnesses are watching us tonight. Hallelujah. And wondering how long until you walk into perfection. Hallelujah. Because they without us cannot be made perfect. Amen. Hallelujah. But once there is a group that walks into perfection, then all of those that just like that one boost being perfect, and that was the time element, shall be perfected with us. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are fallen asleep, that you sorrow not as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this I say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them that are fallen asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and there shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. That's an old one that they use at funerals, isn't it? Amen. But you see, But the secret is, who rose in that resurrection? Ah, the dead in Christ rose. Not the dead believer. Those that were in Christ did. There's a difference in being in Christ and having Christ in you, which is a hope of glory. Christ in you is a hope of glory, but the glory that it is a hope of is you in Christ. And it is the in Christed that rise first. It is the in Christed that old things have passed away and all things have become new. It's not just to the believer. If you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I contend that old things have not passed away and all things have not become new in your life. And it will not happen overnight. That procedure has begun in your life, but it will not be perfected until you are in Christed. That is, until there's more of Christ than there is of you. Hallelujah. Until the engrafted word has grown from that inner circle that Brother Drew this morning. Hallelujah. To engulf the other two circles. Then you're in Christed. Hallelujah. Just let me make it real simple to you. If I should go by the way of the grave tonight. Hallelujah. And the only thing that kept me from being manifested instead of going by the way of the grave was the time element in God. Then my wife would have me taken over there on that hill where my forefathers are buried. And they would bury this tabernacle. You understand, just this tent's all they'd take over there. The Spirit would ascend to God who gave it. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, they want to know who all these coming. Who is that coming with them? I said, if you wait around till I go over the way of the grave, I can tell you who one of them is. It's me. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm coming back for the redemption of my body. Hallelujah. But my more blessed hope is that I'll receive that redemption while yet alive without going to that hill. But if I do, don't despair. I think as tired as I get sometimes, I wouldn't get rested good if I was over on that hill until I'd hear him cry. Hallelujah. Amen. I'd hear that battle cry and that ground would burst open. I'd be reunited with my spirit and changed in a moment. Hallelujah. And given a glorified body like unto his own. Hallelujah. And began to reign with him throughout the tribulation. You remember, I shared this prophecy with some of you. I won't tell it again because it's lengthy, but the Lord gave me the projection, said, when you see this come to pass, go to your prayer closet and wait for me before the throne. I will come to you there, and I will give unto you immunity from everything that is poured out upon the earth, he said. And he said to me, this is the manifestation of the sons of God. This is the beginning of the great tribulation. This is the first resurrection, and I will come to thee. Hallelujah. Amen. So I got a lot of things in the right perspective as the Spirit spoke to me and gave me the promise that He would come to me and give to me immunity and that I could tread upon and walk through all of it and nothing shall by any means harm you. I'm not just bouncing off the wall. This is all scriptural. I mean, I can give you scriptural references for these promises that the Rhema spoke to me. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody said, well, what if it runs over you? It won't hurt me. Hallelujah. If I eat it, it won't hurt me. Hallelujah. Amen. If it eats me, it won't hurt me. Hallelujah. How about that? But he said, nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's plain enough, isn't it? If he'd wanted to say it another way, he knew how to say it another way. That's the way he wanted to say it. He said, I'm going to give you immunity where nothing shall by any means hurt you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Isn't the Lord good to us? My Lord and our God. Oh, praise the Lord forever. Praise His wonderful name. Yeah, kindly, do you see? The teacher has not taught until the student has learned. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, maybe. This is just a sprinkling. I touch so many things. I don't know. I don't know if we'd ever have time to come together and just really lay out this message from beginning to where we are. And where we expect to come to, and where we have scriptural reason to expect that we will come to and know to. I don't know. God will just have to give it to us. Somebody says, well, Brother Jack came by revelation, but we're being taught. You'll still have to come by revelation. It has to be a revelation to you. You cannot get this through teaching. This is a move of God, and it was inaugurated by the Spirit like the early church was. Hallelujah. It is a spiritual move. Nobody dreamed it up or got it together. It is a sovereign move of God. Hallelujah. And you can only get in this by divine placement and by revelation. Hallelujah. It's the only move that has ever required this upon entrance, revelation of sonship. Oh, how God how the heart of God yearns for the fulfilling of the precious intent of bringing many sons to glory in the express image of the only begotten, our blessed and precious Savior. We owe Him everything. We owe Him our life. He paid a debt He didn't know. We owed one we could not pay. In Jesus' name tonight, would you just close your eyes and lift your hands a moment? And I want to just meditate here just briefly. Hallelujah. As we come into the presence again. Hallelujah. Amen. As we become consciously aware that we are in His presence again. I want you to become consciously aware that we're under the light of the Shekinah glory tonight. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. My Lord, in His precious name, we have come tonight, O Lord. Yes, Lord, in the name of Jesus, this is a gracious people. Hallelujah. Praise the lovely Lord. In Jesus' name tonight, my Lord and our God. I'm going to minister a little bit tonight here. I'm going to release some things that needs releasing. And first of all, I'm going to minister as I see the angel of the Lord here again tonight. And I'm going to just minister a little bit here, if I may. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then I'm going to loose and bind some things. I appreciate the beautiful service that we had this afternoon, this morning, and last night, and all of that. Brother Timmons and Sister Timmons, would you just stand, please? I'm going to come right here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just hold hands and give me your hands here. Let me look at you real close. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord forever. Oh, yes. Yeah, the Spirit of the Lord has come to rest upon thee, saith the Lord. Yea, I have come to pay thee a visitation. It is not by chance that thou hast come this way, for thou hast come for help, and help shall surely be given unto thee, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, it is a good thing that thou hast done, and now the Lord would say unto thee, yea, that thou shalt forget the things that are past, and press toward the mark for the price of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Yea, do not let your mind dwell on past failures, and past disturbances, saith the Lord. But I, the Lord, would instruct thee to employ your mind, upon the good things of God. Yea, employ your mind upon the possibilities of your ascent into the heavenly realms, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, for if thou shalt dwell on the things that are in the past, and on failures of the past, yea, and disappointments, thou shalt surely be disappointed again. But the Lord would say unto thee, yea, that you are my children, and I have called thee to walk with me. Therefore it will take a stern dedication on both parts, saith the Lord thou God, for you are one. Yea, I have made you one, saith the Lord thou God. I shall anoint thee and supply thee the power, yea, that thou shalt need to walk out these instructions, saith the Lord. Yea, not that it will be an effortless thing for you, but surely there will be some effort. Yea, you'll have to set your hearts to walk with God. You'll have to make a determination that can that others cannot deter. Yea, that a moment of despair will not bestir, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, for the Lord would want you to be victorious and not defeated, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, even now there is time, time still remains that a work in the Lord's kingdom can be done. Yea, and I can use all in my harvest, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, and I make you likely candidates even tonight, saith the Lord, as thou doth set thy heart toward me, saith God. In Jesus' great name tonight, Lord, the blessings of the Most High be on you. In Jesus' name tonight. Hallelujah. 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 This sister here, did I talk to you this? Have I talked to you? Have I ever prophesied to you? What is your name?
Fanny.
Faye? Where are you from, Faye?
Pine Bluff, Arkansas.
Pine Bluff, Arkansas. Are you familiar with the Move of God, so-called Kingdom Message, aren't you?
Yes.
What is your religious background?
I'm a Christian.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you feel anything in your spirit tonight?
I feel full.
Yeah, you feel full. Huh? Yes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 You feel good too, don't you?
Yes.
Good and full. That's a good feeling.
Yeah, I have a very sick body, but I feel
full. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Your body is very sick. I've seen the angel of the Lord over you.
I have
cancer in your bones.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. My, I know that's a scary thing if you let it scare you, but our God made the bones, didn't he?
I gave it to him.
And made the sails. Hallelujah. Oh, you already had your eyes enlightened.
I hope so.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know what the hope is and what the glory of his inheritance in his saints. You know what his power is. Well, praise the Lord. I've seen the angel of the Lord over you, so I'm going to pray for you for your complete healing and restoration. Maybe, oh, blessed be God forever. I pray for complete healing. Hallelujah. In this body, in Jesus' name. My Lord, that this cancer of the bone shall be deleted. My Lord, and destroyed. Yea, and that health shall come unto thee speedily. Yea, for the Lord hath sent the angel of the Lord, yea, to point thee out to the servant of God, yea, that you might be blessed among the many tonight, saith the Lord. Yea, I shall surely fill thee with the spirit of gladness. Yea, and I shall give unto thee and keep within thee this good attitude. Yea, and thou shalt not be troubled on every side. Yea, for every plague can be removed. Yea, and every enemy can be destroyed. Yea, and your praise can be like a refiner's pot, and the power of it is to gold. Yea, it can be refined, saith the Lord, and purged, even as you praise me, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, by a purpose to bless thee in the land of the living. May the blessings of the Lord be on you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the lovely Lord Jesus. Thank God forever. Thank God forever. All right, praise you, great God. Bless the lovely Lord tonight, the lovely Lord tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Heavenly Father, tonight I take dominion over the spirit of poverty. Hallelujah. I take dominion over the over physical poverty. Hallelujah, and I release finances to those that are in need tonight. Hallelujah. If you have a need, financial need tonight, you know it, and God knows it, and I may know it too. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not asking you for a hand showing, but just say, me too. Say, I'll take that. Now, I am releasing tonight natural finances for those that are in financial need. Yes, I'm doing it according to the authority bestowed on me, yea, and in and through me as an apostle of the Lord, saith God. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm going to release. Now, let me explain something to you. There is a spirit of poverty. And I'm cursing the spirit of poverty. You know what the spirit of poverty is? Well, I know people that are rich. Materially and naturally, I mean, actually, the zeros are there. Hallelujah. Amen. And they are actually, in actuality, they're rich, but they have a spirit. They have the spirit of poverty.
Right.
So they might as well just be. They might as well not have the riches. They haven't got any riches because they have the spirit of poverty. There is a spirit of poverty. And I'll tell you, I think I'd rather just have the natural than the spirit of poverty. At least if I had just the natural poverty, if I ever come into any riches, I'd use them. Unless I, but if you bask in this thing or dwell in it too long, you get the spirit of poverty. If you'll notice, people that come through the Great Depression that were old enough to have a lot of responsibility back in those days, so many of them developed the spirit of poverty. And years have been good to them since then, and now they could live like, as the old saying is, like kings if they wanted to, but they don't. They try to stretch their Social Security and never draw any on their resources. They have a spirit of poverty. I curse the spirit of poverty tonight. Hallelujah. As well as the real financial poverty. Praise the Lord forever. Has anybody here got anything for sale that you can't sell? You hadn't sold. Been for sale a long time? Been for sale a long time? How long? What have you got to sell, brother? You're trying to sell it? How long has it been for sale? Yeah, about 3 years. Well, we're going to have to speed up production here. Hallelujah. Anybody else got anything for sale that's kind of slow mover? What are you selling?
We got stove sets.
Praise the Lord. All right? Well, but I'm going to release some buyers here. Praise the Lord. Is it for sale? No, it's for sale. All right. You got something for sale? Y'all got some hard selling things, but we'll sell them anyhow. Praise the Lord. Yep. All right. All right. I'm going to release some buyers for you. Hallelujah. I do this a lot of times, and we get all kinds of testimonies. Sometimes when they get home, a buyer's already made contact with whoever, you know. You expect that this will happen, and it may very well happen. You try and sell, we're going to release a buyer for you. Hallelujah. All right? Anybody else wants to sell anything? I'm going to release some buyers. Hallelujah. All right? Heavenly Father, my Lord and our God, you've seen the hands of those, and those that we've talked to here tonight. You knew it before their hands went up. You knew it before I asked, O Lord. But I'm releasing under this authority, Lord. I take the authority. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you have motivated me and will approve me taking this authority. I release buyers for these that have something to sell tonight. And I release a buyer and release the wisdom, the knowledge, or the information to make contact with you. And that the negotiations will be successful and a sale will be constituted in Jesus' great name. Now, Lord, hallelujah, I pray that you would do this speedily in Jesus' name. I release buyers. And if there are buyers here looking for objects to purchase, I release direction to them to go to the place of making the purchase in Jesus' name. I do this as an expression of my love and concern to this local, to this body that is gathered together here tonight, because I know that God is concerned. In Jesus' name, we do it. Hallelujah. Let it be true. Now, you expect that that you'll be doing some business negotiations in the very near future. Sometimes it just don't take any time, and rarely ever does it take a very long time to do it. Now, I know that the market's kind of slow now, but you see, we're of another kingdom. Right. We're not governed by this one. Hallelujah. We walk in obedience to because our kingdom tells us to. Hallelujah. But if it ever gets too contrary to our kingdom, we wouldn't walk. Well, you can reason for yourself. Would it be better for us to mind God, to obey God, or obey man? As long as our government system is as it is today, we can walk in pretty good obedience to it and right into the kingdom too. Hallelujah. And I thank God for that, don't you? Yeah. Hallelujah. It could be a lot harder on this, couldn't it?
Right.
Yeah, we could live somewhere else. Hallelujah. Oh, but I'm glad that we don't. I'm glad it's here, aren't you? Praise the Lord. I love this country.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. I'm a patriot. I make no bones about it. Hallelujah. Amen. I know some more that are fanatic about it as I am. Hallelujah. Amen. It's one of my highest priorities. Oh, praise God forever. Hallelujah. Keep this country safe, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen and amen. The Lord is my life and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. And in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, he shall set me up on high. Then shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore shall mine eyes see my desire, and my ears shall hear my desire upon the wicked, even mine enemies that rise up against me. Hallelujah. Then shall the righteous flourish as a palm tree. He shall grow like the cedar in Lebanon. They that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is good. In him is no unrighteousness at all. Hallelujah. God bless you, Brother Glenn. Praise the Lord.
Father, we thank you for your presence that's been manifest in our midst tonight. We thank you for the Shekinah glory, the Holy Ghost that's hovered over us and been with us this evening. Father, we thank you now as we depart. We return again tomorrow to praise and worship you. We thank you for a good night's rest. We thank you, Lord, for peace. For peace and the presence of the Lord to give us rest in the night. We praise you for it, Lord, and we thank you for it. Amen and amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.